If you have your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 is where we're going to go. Do we stand for the reading of God's word here? Amen. Let's do that. Revelation chapter 20. While you're turning, I'm going to read another verse to you, Revelation 1:8. Just, you don't have to turn there. If you like to, you can. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The less you amen, the longer I go. Just going to say that. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. A day's coming.
Yes, sir.
And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Father, use me. I ask humbly to just be your conduit, to speak your word, my ear hearts. And the hearts in this room receive what you would have for all of us this morning. Might we leave here, not checking off the list that we went to church and did our Christian duty, but that our hearts would be impacted and affected, and it would change our lives. And it would ripple out to change our neighborhoods and our coworkers, and ultimately Lubbock and Texas to the ends of the world. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Aren't you glad that God loves the world?
Yes.
I am. How many of you have ever had a bad day? Anybody ever had a bad day? Anybody had a bad week? Anybody had a bad month? How about a bad year? I remember a year not so long ago, 2020, I think is what it was called. It was a pretty rough year. Anybody? And we're kind of still trickling through those. In California, nothing's normal and nothing ever will be again, I think. Praise the Lord, it seems fairly normal here. And I enjoyed that. But we've had a bad day. Let me tell you about the worst day of my life. Can I do that? You don't know me. I don't know you. I'm just going to be open to you and just here it goes. You ready? It started with that letter in the mail that says from the courts of California. And you dread it, right? That letter in the mail that says, guess what? You're a citizen and you get to go do jury duty. Isn't that fun? I don't know what it's like around here, but it is a task where I live. Driving through traffic to get to the courthouse, no fun. The courthouse, you don't know where to park, anybody? You don't know where to park. You have to pay for parking. Everything just goes wrong. You spill your coffee on the way, whatever it is. It's just not a great day. So I get that letter in the mail. I got about 2 weeks to be ready. I tell everybody I'm going to have to be going there. I get in the car. That night, before jury duty, I start feeling not so good. So I go to bed. I get up the next morning. I got a full-blown fever. This is back probably 2017. I'm not feeling good. I'm sweaty. The whole nine yards. Are you with me? I get in the car. I'm like, I don't know how to get out of this thing. I put on my clothes. I get in the car. I have to leave at 6:30 to be over there by 7:30. It's only a four-minute drive, but it takes an hour to get there. So I drive over there. I have been there enough that I know it's just better to go to the parking garage. I park, I sit, and I'm just achy and fevery. I just want some chicken noodle soup and my wife to cuddle me. Anybody? Anybody been there? But I get out of the car, and I walk the block and a half from the parking lot into the entryway. There's the new courthouse and the old courthouse. You go into the new courthouse, and you kind of go through the process of getting tagged, and you're here. And immediately I say to the bailiff and the secretary working there, I got a temperature. I don't feel good. They said, go sit down. We don't care. Right. Oh, great. What a blessing. Okay. So I sit there maybe an hour or two, just starting to feel now wretchy. Anybody? Anybody with me? Kind of just my stomach's starting to gurgle. And Not good. Finally, I go, I think I need to go home. They have no sympathy for me. The lady is, you know, the bulldog at the front there. She's heard every excuse, you know, her face, you know. She's 20, but she's 80. Anybody? And she's got stubble on her chin. And it goes by the name Sweetie. Ooh. And so I'm there, and I'm like, please. And she's like, no. Finally, about 11 o'clock, they call my number. You're just the number. Doesn't that feel special? And they say, okay, go over to the old courthouse. They're going to put you in the courtroom now, and they're going to start selecting the jury. I limp over there, just, ugh. We sit in the area out here by the lawyers, and the judge comes in, and he says, this is going to be this kind of a case. I'm going to go through all that. All of that stuff. And the whole time, I'm just getting worse and worse and worse. Finally, about noon, he says, all right, you get an hour lunch break. You can go to lunch and come back, whatever, 1 o'clock. I don't remember. I walk out, and I said to the bailiff, can I get an excuse? Can I get a delay? I'll come back. Whatever. I just feel awful. And the guy's just like, whatever, just get out of here. I don't want to talk to you. I go out to the car, kick the seat back, and just, oh, here it comes. In the parking lot, okay, just if you're faint of heart, I start tossing my cookies in the parking lot. I start, whatever you want to call it, in the parking lot. Here I am, this dignified courthouse. I'm in the parking lot. Woohoo! And my socks are coming off. I kind of, you know, not eating anything. I go at the point of time into the courthouse. Now, let me say, this courthouse, there's the new courthouse, and then there's the old courthouse. The new courthouse, it looks like this. It's kind of modern looking and nice and updated. The old courthouse is this long, kind of cathedral-like edifice. Does that make sense? It's got the marble everywhere and the big columns, and people walk, and it's clack, 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 the big echoey, you know, down. And you just walk in, you're like, whoa. You know, it's older. It's got that musty smell. You don't want to go in the bathrooms because there might be a homeless person in there. But it's amazing. Just this, wow, this whole thing. I walk into that courtroom through the big double doors. And there's the group that's waiting on me to go in. And I walk towards them and I go, oh, no. And I run to the trash can in that hallway and just let her fly. And here it is. Everybody in the room, every lawyer, every secretary, every head of state, I don't know, is just like, whoa, Pastor Donnie Wilson. Oh, just, and I'm just, I go to the bailiff and I say, please. He's like, he literally says to me, I know you just have a hangover. Get in there. And I'm like, Look, I got an invite to church, really. Look, my name's on, look, my face is on the track. Come on. Nothing, just boo. So I sit there for about an hour, gurgling and gurgling in the thing. They call my name, and I have to go sit in the jury box. And they're asking all these dumb questions. I couldn't tell you one thing they said. I'm just sweating and trying not to puke on the guy in front of me. Finally, they come to me. They ask me a couple questions. I vaguely answer them. They go to the next guy. They ask him a couple questions. It's about 2:30, maybe 3 o'clock. That's it. I've got to get out of this room. I start to move, and I jump down. I start to move. I'm going to leave. I'm just going to get a warrant out for my arrest, whatever. And as when I stood up, it came again. I dive to the lawyer's trash can there by the tables. Whoa. Anybody ever had a bad day? The judge is looking at me. The lawyers are looking at me. The whole room is looking at me. I got, you know, a little stuff on my face. The judge goes, I heard that we had someone sick in the room. I guess it's true. And I was like, thank you. He looks at me, he says, juror number or whatever, would you like to go home? And I'm like, no, I want to stay. He says, would you like me to sign off for you to be done this year, or would you like to come back? No, I want to stay. It's all right, you're done. He signs my thing. I drive home. My wife has no sympathy for me either. I live to tell the story. Anybody have a bad day like that? What we're looking at here in Revelation chapter 20 is the worst day in human history. These verses describe the final events of all human history. God is putting the last period on the last sentence of the last paragraph of the last page. This is the final judgment of all who die lost, never having repented and never having received Christ as their Lord and Savior. This is a serious matter. We need to give it our full attention. We have seen some crazy things in our day, and it brings me to this verse, these verses. It's not easy to preach about this final judgment. It's not easy for me to. It gives me no pleasure to go to this last horrible day and say, Bethany Baptist Church, let's be aware of this. Anyone being thrown alive into the lake of fire for all of eternity, that's a serious matter. God takes no pleasure in it either. God never made hell for people. He was created. It was created for the devil and his angels and all of that. Anybody who rejects God, he gave a way of escape. He said that you don't have to be here. It doesn't have to send people here. Sin sends you to hell. Rejecting the Holy Spirit sends you to hell. And this is the day that God says it doesn't have to happen for you, but it's going to happen. If we say no to God's provision, the only alternative is this day. We cannot remain neutral on it. To not make a decision is to make a decision. God is love, John 3:16. And he loves us so much that he sent his only begotten son so that we wouldn't have to stand here. So we wouldn't have to be a part of this. Those who repent go to heaven, and those who reject stand here. He is holy. He is perfect. If we don't accept his payment and our payment for our sin, then we pay the ultimate price. What we now look at is the darkest hour in human history. There's been some pretty dark days. I'm reading a book with my son about World War II and the attack on Iwo Jima and going up Suribachi Hill there. And that famous photo, we're reading about that right now. And we're reading it on the way over here yesterday. That's a bad day. That's an awful day. Thousands of American boys buried in mass graves on a foreign nation. Awful day. But I'm telling you, this day that's coming, nothing like that day. Nothing like that day. This is the Supreme Court of the universe. All the lost will be judged, and all after the verdict is read, it is finished. It's done. There's no appeal. There's no getting out of it. It's final. The sentence is life and death. A death row and torture chamber all wrapped into one with no end for all. Think about this. All of eternity. I'm sitting in that courtroom and it feels like eternity, but it just feels like it. It isn't eternity. Driving from Dallas to here felt like eternity, but it wasn't. It's just flat and wow. If you think the world is overcrowded, just drive from there to here. It's not. Definitely not. This is not... I'm California, and I'm not politically correct. And some just don't believe this is going to happen.
You're right.
And their argument is not with me. They can take it up with God.
Right.
If I've ever preached a sermon direct from God's word, it's this morning. There are seven aspects of the great white throne judgment. The courtroom, the judge, the accused, the evidence, the defense, the verdict, and the sentence. We're not going to get to all those this morning. But verse 11 says, let's read it, great white throne. Do you see that? Those three words, great white throne. We're going to stop right there. Great. That's a good word, isn't it? Great. Great speaks of what? Of the power of God. The lost standing before his throne will be overcome with the incredible sense of awe and power and fear. Some take this moment flippantly on the face, but in that moment, in that day, there will be nothing flippant about it. He will not be the man upstairs. He will not be the God that they think of and talk of. He will be the Almighty. He will be great. He will be God of the universe. If they didn't get saved, they're here. They will tremble before him. They will bow before him. Their mind will go back to the occasion that they drove by a church or someone handed them a flyer or they read a Bible or they heard a sermon on the radio, and they will tremble in their bowels. Yes. They may think of the jokes that they told about hell, but this day there'll be no joking. They may remember the way they used to think about hell and how it'll be fun with all their friends there, and they'll go, nope, I was wrong on that day. Hebrews 10:31 says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Hebrews 12:29, for our God is a consuming fire. How dare we think we could ever stand before God and be anything but speechless, completely and utterly. Notice how this judgment begins. It says, and earth and heaven fled away. There's nowhere to hide. It doesn't even exist. They realize that it's gone. Everything that they put before God is gone. All their possessions, all their pleasures, all their popularity, all the prestige, all their family, all their children, gone, disposed of. And all that's left is you and God. Talk about feeling... Well, I felt pretty low that day I threw up in that trash can in that courtroom. I felt pretty embarrassed and quote-unquote naked. But this day, that's nothing. That's nothing. Who disposed of all of that? The God of heaven. Hear this, in the end, all we'll have left, Brother Fowler said it in Sunday school, is our soul. How important it is, our soul. No wonder Jesus said in Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I don't know what you have. I don't know what you do for a living. I don't know but a few names in this room, but I'm telling you, your soul is the most important thing. And the souls of your friends and your families and your neighbors, that's it. That's all that matters. When it comes down to it, that's it. I'm in Weatherford, Texas yesterday, and I go to a basketball game with some friends of ours that moved to that area, and I walk onto that campus of that school, and I went, wow, the money pouring into this state and into this school is amazing. California, we have schools, 2,700 people in kids in a school. That's normal for us, 28, 29. But they're all dumpy modulars, okay? They're just, we manage our money great. You guys, way to go. We got modulars with graffiti on it and barbed wire and cantina and guards. No, I was just like, wow, it's so clean. Ian came out of the bathroom. He says, Dad, that bathroom is amazing. California, we got truck stop bathrooms. That's all we got. I'm like, wow, that's sad when my 14-year-old goes, wow, look at the bathrooms. That day, what shall it profit a man who gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The great stands for power. Look at the next word. It says white. It speaks of purity. This speaks of the unapproachable purity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that important? Because on that day, we will stand before God and say, I'm a good person. That will mean nothing compared to his unapproachable purity. The only way you or I can be pure enough to stand before God is to be washed in his own blood.
Amen.
Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Psalm 51:7, purge me and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. We see God's power in this day. We see God's purity in this day, white and pure. And then it says, number three. Colorado education there, amen. Number three, speaks of the potentate. That's a good word. Potentate. Not potato, potentate. Speaks of God's in charge. God's in charge on that day. He will call the shots on this day. I know today in our society, in our world, his name is dragged through the mud, made fun of. His followers are made fun of. But on that day, it is God who sits on the throne.
Yes.
Powerful, pure, potentate, the creator of the world, the one who allowed us. You ready? Let's all take a breath. That's God's grace.
Right.
Right there. That is God's amazing grace. He is the potentate. And if he says it's your time, it's your time. There's no stopping it. It's done. The Spirit is convicting our hearts. The Savior has died on the cross. He allowed us to make the choice. What an amazing thing that he will allow us. Do you want to follow me or not? I'm sending my son to pay for it. You decide. Wow. If I were God, I'd be like, nope, don't like him. Don't like him. Definitely don't like him. Governor of California. I don't even know who your governor is, but it's got to be better than ours. He sits on the throne. And think about this. God allows our governor to be governor. Why? I don't know. He's God. He's potentate. 1 Timothy 6:15, which in his time he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And you'll either put him on the throne of your heart today, or you'll stand before the great white throne judgment on that day. That's the choice this morning. Notice the last phrase in verse 11. There was found no place for them. It literally means there's no place to run, no place to hide. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve sinned and tried to hide behind trees. In that day, there's no trees. When Jonah sinned and tried to get away in a boat, and get some transportation, get away from it all, in that day, there's no boat. There's no getting away. The fig leaves, ugly nakedness, it's all exposed on that day. Nowhere to run, no excuse, everything stripped away. One-on-one, the sinner and the great white throne. Right. Number two, we have the judge. Let's look at the judge this morning. Him that sat on it. Who is the judge of the universe? Anybody? A teenager, are you awake over here? Oh, they all looked up. Look at that. Way to go. Amen. Who's the judge of the universe? Come on, somebody answer me. Anybody?
God.
I like that brave guy right there. Give him a Snickers bar, okay? That guy is wrong. Sorry, buddy. John 5:22 says, "The Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgments unto the Son." Can you imagine this day? Everything's gone, everything's stripped away, the great white throne, and the guy on the throne is not God, but the one whose pierced side is showing, the one whose hands, the one who the crown of thorns, the one who paid for you not to have to be there, says, "I'm sorry, I never knew you." Can you imagine that day? The one who paid the price. The one who said, "You don't have to be here." Right. This is an awful day. This is a horrible day. The sweet Savior, the one who gave the gospel, the Lamb of God, is no longer the Lamb of God. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah now. The Redeemer is now the ruler. The Savior is now the sovereign. Acts 17:31, "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." Those who rejected him, those who came to church, CNE, do you have CNE Christians? Christmas and Easter Christians? Those who said, "I went on Christmas and Easter," that'll be it. There's a story of a man who was out fishing in a boat, and the boat capsized. Hope to take your pastor fishing one day when he comes out. We get to go out into the Pacific there and do some deep sea fishing a couple times a year. His brother-in-law and I go quite often, and it's fun. I can imagine being out there on the boat and doing some deep sea fishing, catching the big ones. Man. The boat capsizes. A man jumps in, saves him, brings him to shore. What a wonderful, that's a guy you remember, right? That's a guy you go, wow. A year later, the same guy that fell overboard gets into some legal troubles, and he's going to have to come before the judge, and he's worried, and he's sitting there, "I'm going to go to jail. This is a bad deal." In walks the judge, and the judge is the guy who saved him a year ago from the water. He says, "Judge, it's me. Remember you saved me? Whoa, this is the best day of my life." And the judge, in his robes and gavel, says, "That was that day. Today I wear the crown, I wear the robe, and I sit on this throne. The law has to be upheld. It's a difficult day. This same Jesus who begs to be your Savior today will one day be your judge if we reject Him as Savior. We see the judge, we see the great white throne. Thirdly, we see the accused. And I'm almost done. The accused. There's a couple phases here. We see the big shot and nobodies and up-and-comers and down-and-outers and CEOs and the lowest employee to the professional to the uneducated to the kings to the homeless. They all stand at this day here, lost. This is the second resurrection, the resurrection of the lost, the first resurrection of the saints more than 1,000 years before this. In other words, this isn't about whether or not they're guilty or innocent. At this point in the progression of things, they're guilty. It's done. It's too late. This is not a trial to see whether or not you go free. This is not about allegations. Did you do it or did you not do it? This is about making it clear why you stand here. Does that make sense? This is why you're going to hell for eternity. They already have been in hell awaiting this final judgment. Two words for hell in Scripture, Hades and Gehenna, which can be likened to jail and prison. Jail being temporary and prison being long-term, unless you live in California. Notice the words death and hell in verse 13 and 14. Death gives up the body, hell gives up the soul, then both body and soul are cast into Gehenna, the lake of fire. There's no appeal, no parole. That's it. Done. Look right here. For eternity. Church, are you with me this morning? In the back, are you with me? Forever, eternity. There's four groups in this place. The sinner, the one who hates God and don't mind speaking about hating God. The one who hates church and the Bible and all of those. And I could name names this morning. I'm not going to. There's the self-righteous who think they will go to heaven because they live good lives. They think the gospel is for perverts and thieves and murderers and those that don't believe in them and being good people, the publicans and the Pharisees. They pray to the altar. The Pharisees said, thank God we're not like those over there. If we're not careful, we can be in that category, can't we not? I'm better than them. Only in this day, they stand here at this great white throne judgment no better than anybody else. A level, even. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as unclean thing, and all unrighteousness are as filthy rags. We see the sinner, we see the self-righteous, we see the slow decider. I'm thinking there might be one or two in here this morning, a slow decider. They know they need to get saved. They want to get saved. People have been inviting them to church and saying, please make the decision. You don't know. You could be on the highway and be done. You could wake up one morning and take your last breath. You could get your cup of coffee and be in eternity. They didn't make that decision, but they kept putting it off. But the Bible makes it plain how important it is to deal with it now. Your pastor said, I can't believe how old he is. The time has gone by fast. It has. You see that? He is, not me. Hebrews 3:15. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Let me beg of you this morning. If you haven't decided and you're hanging in the balance, life is but a vapor. Could happen any moment. 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Make the decision. The slow decider needs to know the second chance, the great white throne. Just as in Noah's day, there was years warning and preaching, and suddenly the door was slammed shut. The rain started to come down. They beat on the door. Noah, let us in. Too late. I love that phrase where he says, Noah, come on inside. You ever thought about that? I love that. Who was inside the ark? That's where I'm going. Yes, sir. He's already in there. If you don't do it, it's too late. Lastly, the Sunday churchgoer. The ones who have their name on the church roll, but not in the Lamb's Book of Life. I think that there's more than I'd like to think about in that category. Those who've gone to church their whole life and aren't willing to swallow their pride and say, I'm not 100% sure. Last summer, my daughter, 17-year-old daughter, went to camp. A man named Burton Gates preached. Never heard of him, from Philadelphia. He's a crazy wild man. The first night he preached his testimony, really, how he got saved. The second night, he said, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm preaching on hell. It's a weird thing to preach at teen camp. The second night, you know why he preached? Because my 17-year-old daughter, the pastor's daughter, got saved. Hallelujah. You know what? I'm so thankful for Burton Gates and my daughter swallowing her pride and saying, I better get it right and stand, instead of standing at the great white throne judgment.
Yes, sir.
That's it. He made that. The Bible, the churchgoers, the ones who wear the nice suit and tie and skirts and come and give and at a mission conference and revival meetings, don't miss it because of pride. Don't miss it. Swallow it. Make that decision. You'll never regret it. And I think, I don't know this church that well, but I think we would rejoice with that. If we don't, boy, there's another church down the road. You can go. Because I rejoice when anybody gets saved. I don't care. The oldest, the youngest, the most saved, baptized 38 times, but got settled. Good deal. You say, Pastor, what is all of this? I know this story. This is familiar. All of this stuff, I get it. We see the great white throne. We see the verdict. We see the judge. We see those that are sentenced. Why do I say all this? Because you're probably not going to be there. That's why I say it. I don't know this church. I know it's a good church, but I'm guessing 99% in this room are saved. And you're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Woohoo! I don't know what they're serving, but it's going to be good.
Amen.
But you know what I'm afraid of? There's somebody you know that will be there, and you haven't told them. If 2020 told us anything, the rapture could happen any moment.
Right.
If 2020 told us anything, America could no longer exist in a minute. I could not believe that it happened in that year. And what it did for me was go, oh, the end is close. Do you feel that, anybody?
Yes.
Do you, in your gut, go, what's happening? I don't know when, but it's coming.
Right.
And this great white throne judgment, you're not going to be there. But your neighbor, who you say hi to and help carry the trash out, have you invited him to church? Have you given him this gospel plan? That's what I'm here for today. I look across Lubbock here, and I see people after people after people. I was at Target yesterday. Full of people. Probably go to church. Do they know for sure? That's your job. To make sure they're not there. To make sure they're not at this great white throne judgment. Pastor, I don't understand. But I understand this day well enough to know it doesn't matter the difficulty. It doesn't matter the cost. It doesn't matter your pride and arrogancy. All that matters is the day will come when the earth will be swept away. And we'll stand there going, hallelujah, I'm not there. But there'll be somebody on the other side going, you never said a word. I knew. And they went to Bethany Baptist Church and they never, I'm afraid of this, we anemically, weakly, shyly, politically correctly go, you might want to go to church. This day sounds like a day that I ought to man up, put in my big boy pants and go, it's eternity. It's forever. So your neighbor doesn't like you. That day when he goes, well, he tried to tell me the truth and I didn't listen. I got offended. Come back tonight. I think we're going to talk about being offended. Great peace have they which love thy law and nothing shall offend. What does that mean? Christians are so easily offended today. We just wear it on our sleeves. Oh, pastor, oh, the church. This is the day that hangs in balance.